Okay, cool. What are you doing this time?
Gary, if you look here, I'm holding a vial full of mercury.
Ooh, Freddie Mercury?
No, that's the other vial.
Help, I'm in here. We're trapped in a vial. Can't get out. Give our freedom one more chance.
Oh, don't stop me now, Gary. Don't stop me now. No, that's the other vial. That one's back in the freezer.
You saved him.
Yep.
Until we have a cure.
I compressed him down to a fine oil. Yeah. With just a little bit of mustache floating on top.
Yeah. No, but this is a regular regular mercury. No,
this is Freddie's mercury. It's not related, but I bought it from a guy named Freddie. So in the tradition of the alchemists of old, I'm going to take this mercury and I'm going to smash it open over some lead that I'm holding in this hand right here, and we will see what our next game will be.
Oh, cool. I mean, okay. Gold.
Yeah. Hopefully gold. I don't know what it's going to be. And 3, 2, 1.
Ew.
Oh, Gary,
get that off your skin, buddy.
Wait,
it's
one second.
Let me sink through your skin.
Lick that off here.
See that you've got skin on your tongue.
Do I got this? Huh. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Look at it roll around here. I'm gonna take some and dab some on my eyes. Actually, ow.
Yeah, you're gonna have a bellyache.
It's a little bit stingy.
You have problems with your guts already, man. This is not gonna help it.
Tastes like grape Kool-Aid. Wow. Huh. Okay. I'm gonna rub some on my underarms here. Yeah. A little bit of lead shavings.
Would you slather my trouser front real quick?
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I have just a little bit left here. I may
hold on. I'll hold still.
Okay. Cool. All right.
Any movement? Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
okay. There we go. There we are. Cool. Cool. Huh? All right. So your trousers are all shiny, Gary.
Yeah, I like it. I'm like Freddie Mercury.
I know. It's great.
Can't stop me now.
Yeah. Well, Gary, I don't know what we've accomplished here today, but I imagine that time will tell that this was a good decision, and we might as well just play Metalmorph.
Okay.
Fuck. I'm gonna say fuck. Yeah, fuck. Yeah. Fucking hate this. Fuck. It sucks.
It's pretty bad. It is pretty bad. It's just interesting, but it's pretty fucking bad. It's interesting.
I like how we lead with our thesis as the conclusion.
Yeah. The in the end, we found Metalmorph terrible but interesting. Good night, folks.
The whole story told at the end of the day, all in all.
Yeah. It's bad, but not for lack of effort.
For this episode of Abject Suffering, we set out and decided to play.
We'll do the whole episode backwards.
Like that one episode of Laverne and Shirley.
I'll take your word for that. So we'll do this one backwards.
Okay.
So there's not a whole lot on Game Facts about this. The board just has this one guy named Billy the Punk who's just like, what is this game all about? Content. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what exactly is this game? So good job, bud. And that's more or less it.
Yeah. It's the game that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a speed run. I already started going forward chronologically. I really wanted to keep with that. I thought that'd be really fun.
I was going to give it the good old college try.
Yeah, but when we started talking about I don't know what usually, because it's like the Wikipedia stuff and then Game Facts at the end.
Yeah,
and then the middles are all hard to predict.
Yeah, the middle. It's dealer's choice.
Yeah, it is a dealer's choice. There's a speed run of it. Like they did it on AGDQ, so I watched a speed run of it.
Wow, what fucking champion did that?
PJ. He's like a super cool dude. Like he's a good speedrunner and he's a fun guy. And he has Matthew Broderick's voice. Like 100%, I'm not kidding. Like it is 100% Matthew Broderick's voice.
Does he have you said Matthew Broderick. For some reason I thought you said Matthew Perry.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's like, no. Does he have his affectations and mannerisms? Could he be more like Matthew Perry?
He could be less like Matthew Perry. He is like a chubby, he looks like the third bare naked lady who's like in an attic being like writing songs on fish bones, you know, like thumb pianos made of like aquatic creatures. Like, he looks just like a chubby buzz cut, but he's got Matthew Broderick, like young Matthew Broderick's voice. It's really weird.
Huh.
And he's a cool guy.
I like the idea of the Bare Naked Ladies as a series of progressively less successful clones.
Yeah.
This is the sixth Michael Keaton.
Yeah. Yeah. I just like the idea of it being like this. There's a whole clan of those Bare Naked Ladies.
Oh yeah.
And we get the two annoying ones, but there are like whole depths of annoyingness.
Oh, it's like the Baldwins.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, then all of a sudden, like, bam, Adam Baldwin comes out of nowhere and is the worst person in the world.
See, I think that Adam Baldwin is just he's a pox on that name because he's not related. He's not one of the illustrious Baldwins.
Stephen Baldwin.
He's no Stephen or Alec.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bare Naked Ladies, though, man. Those guys.
Yeah, wow. They had their moment.
I was in a Panda Express and they played that Pinch Me song. And I think that's one of the worst songs ever, like,
I really
put on radio.
I really liked it when I was in middle school.
It's the worst. Like, it's under there. Ding, 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 ding. I made you say underwear. Like, it is the worst song. It's so fucking bad.
Can you imagine how a person in fourth or fifth grade would enjoy it?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Like, idiots.
Like, every kid is a fucking stupid idiot. So
yeah, kids are fucking stupid idiots. Yeah. But you know, I really hate that song.
I'm not proud. That's one of the first albums that I went and purchased on my own volition.
Maroon?
Along with Maroon. Yes. Hey. Yeah. You know that album.
I never had any of that. I had my proclivities. I had a lot of girlfriends who were into Bare Naked Ladies. My friend. I got a lot of sexually transmitted Bare Naked Ladies.
What kind of proclivities put you in the BNL camp?
Just like having a thing for depressed girls who are huge dorks.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. No, I understand that. No, dude. So, like, I bought that right around the time that I also got Red Hot Chili Peppers Californication.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, what a fun drive home that was.
Yeah, those came out at around the same time. And then that Christmas, I got Fastball's All the Pain Money Money Can Buy, which is a good album.
Yeah, that's probably, I know there's no probably, that's probably the best of the three.
Oh, yeah, definitely. No, there. And I'm just so happy that my taste quickly evolved out of that.
Yeah.
Because I immediately jumped from that, like, oh, this is all contemporary-ish stuff. Like, no, I'm just going to be the dork in eighth grade who likes REM.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, which I was too, but they were just different REMs.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's interesting. Yeah, the Bare Naked Ladies trivia about them that my sexually transmitted Bare Naked Ladies knowledge that I have on every album they record a song completely naked, and I was reading that on Wikipedia and got weirdly like fascinated with the idea of like visualizing it, just because that is a real collection of like awkward shapes.
Yeah,
in that band, like they're weird looking lumpy dudes.
I imagine it being they're a little bit like D&D dice, right? Like each of them cuts like a Team Fortress 2 silhouette a little bit.
Yeah. It's like a D&D dice if they're all d12s. Like it is like a like some weird Steve Jackson game that didn't make it very far, where the requirement to play is every player has to have 10 d12s.
So do they ever reveal which song they record naked?
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's on the Wikipedia.
Huh.
For their albums.
Yeah, because if that was my steez, if that's what I rocked. Basically, yeah. if that's what we did here, we just said, hey, one episode every month we record in the nude. It's up to you to guess which one.
I have recorded an episode of this show naked before. I don't remember which one. It wasn't like, I'm going to be a little naughty. Like, it's just like, I was just like, well, it's hot. Just like, didn't give a shit. So
I'm happy you have that fan now. So that doesn't have to happen. Totally.
Like, so it saved my office chair.
That way when you record naked, you can use that also. You can, let's say multitask, you record and you dry your taint out.
Yeah, I'm feeling real decadent.
Yeah,
from the fan over my surface.
For some reason, that upsets me less than if you said, "Yeah, sometimes I record from the toilet."
Oh yeah, no, I to me that's gross. Like somewhere there's a line, mm-hmm. and for some reason that's it for me.
Yeah, I think that line is the threshold of your bathroom door.
Actively on the toilet? Good God, like that is not okay. Like it's like those savages that eat on the toilet.
Oh God,
like that's the most disgusting thing in the world to me. Mm-hmm. Like I will read on a toilet. I know you won't do that, but mm-hmm. eating on a toilet, that's savage.
Yeah, well, it's a model of efficiency.
Like, yeah, and well, it's efficiency gone horribly, horribly wrong.
I know. Basically, if you just
Soylent in, Soylent out.
I read an article from somebody who subsisted on Soylent for a month, and then after the month was over, they ate an apple and they burst into tears.
Yeah, is that true?
Yeah,
it's very funny. Like that's great.
It's like, oh my gosh, a simple apple.
Yeah. Oh, this is what my body wants.
Yeah. No, just if you took a pillow into the bathroom and also just occasionally cranked one out, that would be all of life. You could basically live like in a prison cell at that point.
Yeah, like it would be like a studio apartment with bathrooms. Like I live in a studio, so my kitchen is part of my bedroom, which is part of my office.
Yeah,
but my bathroom is not part of that, even though I've seen apartments where like the toilet is just in the middle of the room.
Over there in your toilet kitchen? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a thing that happens, man. Especially like in New York, like super small little apartments. Yeah. I've seen like lots of pictures of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, just cray
there, but for the grace of God.
Yeah, and those apartments are like a scant $1,300 a month, probably. Yep. So, like, if you're lucky,
depending on the neighborhood,
150 square feet.
Yeah, probably in sub basement too, as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
New York real estate, am I right, guys?
Yeah, yeah. But it is really crazy expensive. When I visited my friend Carolyn out there, like she split a studio with two other girls and just had like partitions.
Oh, God damn.
Yeah. And it was really expensive. So
I feel like I got lucky because when I sublet, when I lived in Brooklyn, I lived in a not prime neighborhood, but it was, you know, not a terrible place either. It was like $1,200 for a one bedroom. That was pretty spacious just for me.
That's really cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there were rats. I'm not going to lie. Like, yeah, I didn't have roommates. They were just the little furry guys.
Yeah, they're bad rats.
Yeah. We never introduced ourselves. I think we stuck with the
backwards. Yeah, that's true. The backwards, thing. We'll introduce ourselves at the end.
Okay, cool.
If anyone's gotten this far, they're fine.
Yeah, they're good. They know. They know. Didn't one of the Bare Naked Ladies quit?
I don't know. Like, I haven't gotten that far. Once you get to, like, seventh base, that's when you get that kind of STD. Bare Naked Lady. Like, sexually transmitted Bare Naked Ladies knowledge.
Is that, like, the seventh rite to get you?
Yeah, turn you into a seventh level into bride.
No, so I've always wondered how that worked with bands because they seem to always handle it differently. So if I think it was one of the Bare Naked Ladies, it might have been Pinch Me Guy. One of them left. Does he take all of his songs with him? Can they just not do that? Because I know that Guy Fieri, like, he's still around. The one who did Too Little Too Late.
Yeah, that's Ben. That guy's around.
Yeah, it's been. It's been is still around. But Pinch Me's gone.
Yeah. I don't know how that works. I guess that depends on the rights, and then they probably have to, like, you can always play a song live.
Yeah.
That's never, like, I could go up and play an entire Bare Naked Ladies set live, and it's fine.
And you intend to.
Yeah, and I'd love to see someone stop me. please stop me. But recording it, like, so the albums, like, he gets his cut from the album sales.
Yeah.
If they were put out a live album with one of the other guy's songs on it, I think then they have to negotiate, and, like, he'll get a portion of the royalties.
Yeah.
So he doesn't take his songs with him, you know, in any meaningful way.
Yeah.
Like, he just keeps getting money.
So, like, if the Goo Goo Dolls broke up and Black Balloon and Iris, you know, was out there singing, I don't think any of the guys' other songs ever became singles, then it would work out the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Fastball is still kicking it. So Fire Escape and The Way, they're getting along just fine.
Yeah. Like, and REM, you know, like Bill Berry left to become an eyebrow farmer or what have you. And then, but they can still play Everybody Hurts.
Yeah.
Which he wrote. He just gets money if it ends up on a live album. And you'll know that, like, it's not on, like, the last live album that they did, which could just be because it's a terrible song and they decided not to play it. But, like, so that could be the reasoning behind it, because he would get a chunk of the money.
What were they thinking with Everybody Hurts?
Yeah, that's a really bad song. Well, it's so funny that it's just the drummer who did it. So it's like, okay, like, he's not the main songwriter. I think he's written a couple other songs.
Yeah.
before that, but not very many. But then the fact that everyone was cool with it, but then it became a ridiculous smash hit. So
yeah, well, that was,
I guess, good on them, but it's a terrible fucking song.
That was the lead single off of, oh gosh, what was that one album? Automatic for the People, right?
The lead single was actually Drive, which is also another weird, like, anti-single.
Well, that's great. I love Drive.
I like Drive too, but it's a weird song, like, to be a single. It's so not catchy.
Yeah.
Like, it is really slow and really dark and really not catchy. And that was the first single off that album.
Yeah. And then what was it? Monster right after that. Like, the only single off of that, other than What's the Frequency, Kenneth, was Bang and Blame, which was, like, the same song.
Mm-mm. There's also Star 69 and...
Star Me Kitten?
No, not Star Me Kitten, sadly.
Crush with Eyeliner, was that a single?
Crush with Eyeliner was a single. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Star 69 is a good song. Mm-hmm. The it's like really dated now, but I remember like that song.
I like Monster, Gary.
Yeah, Monster's really good. Like, that is a good album. I think Bang and Blame is a really kind of annoying song.
Yeah. It reads as really stipey to me.
Yeah, like stipe and like the bad stipe, like just like vampy, like kind of vampy, like I'm in T-Rex.
Bang, 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 bang.
Yeah. Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know what, I think that Automatic for the People is overrated. I don't care for it on the balance.
For me, I just like the William S. Burroughs cover of Star Me Kitten and Ignore Land. Like, for me, it's just those two songs. So.
Oh, Automatic, like, it also had Night Swimming. Like, what the fuck were they thinking?
Yeah, Night Swimming, the prom song. Well, the trick with Automatic for the People is the first half is like pretty good, I think.
Yeah.
Like, up through Man on the Moon. Like, I think Man on the Moon's a great song.
Yeah.
And then, but a lot of the detrius is not very good. Like, I think that, like, Sidewinder Sleeps the Night's pretty good. Try Not to Breathe's pretty good. Man on the Moon's pretty good.
Yeah.
Dryer's pretty good. And then there's a lot of, like, bleh, kind of in the middle.
A little bit of fart. Yeah. I think that's one of those albums that's really well regarded. It's like, for as much as I enjoy Songs for the Deaf, like Queens of the Stone Age, that has a pretty, it's like a 50-50 hit to miss ratio in pretty much everything that, what's his name? Cocksock, bassist did.
Yeah. Flea.
Flea.
Cocksock bassist.
Yeah. No, everything Nick Oliveri did as he was, you know, abusing his girlfriend. Not really that great songs.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about good albums is, like, you can have good albums that are, like, either the bright spots are so bright that it makes up for it, or you can have a really consistent album. Both are valuable things. Like, when I was getting into Frank Black solo stuff, I remember getting into arguments with my friends by saying that I thought that the first record, like the first solo album, was better. But really, it's just more consistent, because Teenager of the Year is a masterpiece, but it's 22 songs. So, like, therefore 14 of them are good, you know, and like 8 of them are pretty shitty.
Yeah. Like, in desperate need of an editor kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, and that kind of thing happens all the time. And then, like, I'm, you know, a huge Guided by Voices fan. It's maybe my favorite band. So, like, there's not a Guided by Voices album that every song on it is good.
Yeah.
Like, they've never done that. And it's not, that's fine. That's not what they do. But
yeah.
But they have an album that, like, is 25 songs and 85% of them are really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so, like, they do have, like, albums I think are super amazing, but they you know, they can't pull a no hitter, so to speak.
You get a skipper like that. So if Bill Berry didn't write that many songs, why did R.E.M. just kind of, like, take an even further shit after he left?
Well, because, like, Bill Berry, Peter Buck too, but Bill Berry also, like, wanted to rock, and I think the band wanted to kind of move in different directions with it, which, like, I think Up is kind of okay. Like, I think Up is kind of good.
Mm-hmm.
Reveal
was the first REM album that I bought contemporary, like, you know, like, you know, in a contemporary fashion, and I like it, but I don't know if that's, like, me just being nostalgic for, like, oh, this is the first new REM that I was exposed to as a fan, you know.
Yeah, Reveal isn't the worst thing in the world.
No.
Reveal's not bad. The album after that's really shitty.
Around the Sun? Yeah.
Around the Sun's pretty bad.
That's pretty awful.
Did you listen to their two, like, comeback albums at all?
Oh my gosh, Accelerate's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, they're, like, they're totally respectable and decent. Like,
Accelerate, they marketed it, and I think rather shrewdly, as the album that should have gone between Automatic for the People and Monster.
Yeah. And that seems about right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, they, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, like, they have one really bad album and one half bad album. Yeah. Like, it's not too bad. Yeah. Like, the dark period of REM is really overstated. Mm-hmm. Chronologically, it takes up a lot of time.
Yeah, you it know? Does.
Because, like, yeah, but like, there's only a couple albums that are bad.
Yeah, it was like 97 to 2011 or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah, it is a huge chunk in which they hadn't done very much that was very good.
Yeah.
But yeah, we should do a You Talking You Two to Me style podcast with REM. And just go album by album from the beginning, song by song. Like, we could totally, like, I would be so into that.
Yeah,
like,
me too. That would be really good.
Yeah, that would be really, really fun. Cause like, I can talk REM. Like, there was a time in which when I was younger that I could, before bed, when I was the kind of obsessive fan where I would sing the songs to myself in my sleep or uh-huh. like when I was going to bed, you know?
Yeah.
And I used to be able to start with album one, track one mm-hmm. and go really far into the catalog, like, and just kind of go through all the lyrics in my head, like seven albums up. It was real nuts.
The way that I listened to albums was my bed when I was a teenager had like a cabinet built into the head of it. Mm-hmm. And I put my CD player up on, you know, up on the head of my bed. And, I would be in a dark room with like my lamp pointed at the pillow, laying on my stomach, reading the liner notes or printed out lyrics as I listened mm-hmm. along.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I used to do that shit too.
Yeah. Which is like really good for REM as a lyrics kind of based band. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, especially early stuff when his enunciation is not great.
Yeah.
Which I like that about the like band. Like, oh, I love that band.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's also one of the very few bands I've read like a book of. Like, they used to, in the mid 90s, like trade books that's like REM, the inside story. Like, that kind of stuff would come out. And I read like a, you know, read a book that was just like dumb trivia facts.
I watched that
behind the music.
I can't remember who to attribute the quote to, but I heard something amazing. REM is the only band where every member wants to be the lowest in the mix.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a super great quote and super. You know, works with that seems correct.
Yeah.
Well,
so if you'd like to hear that show, let us know and we'll work up some kind of Patreon goal around that.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll, yeah, the chronometer, the time turner.
The time turner.
But the Metal Morph is a video game developed by Origin Systems, mm-hmm. Published by FCI for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to tell anything about it. Like, yeah. And it is a weird, like, this has the marks of a game that like had a full like comic animated series tie-in like push mm-hmm. kind of thing, even down to the fact that there's an option mode thing where you can choose like full fiction mode or action only if you don't want the cutscenes.
Yeah,
but there's nothing about it anywhere.
No, it doesn't exist. It is the opening salvo of a cross-media campaign that never came to be.
Yeah, it's super strange. And like, it's not made by Scrubs or anything. Like, it's made by Origin.
Mm-hmm.
Origin has made really great games.
Yeah.
You know, like, they worked on all the PC Ultima stuff.
Yeah. Wing Commander.
Know. Yeah, Wing, totally. It's like Wing Commander Ultima, which is a pretty good pedigree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but this is a real mess.
Mm-hmm.
Real mess.
Yeah, it's so it's hard to describe a little bit what it is because it jumps back and forth between genres, right?
Yeah.
So. Yeah. You start out, well, let's talk about the fictions. You are a man made of metal.
Yes.
Who is sent...
you're able to use something called metamorphosis.
Which basically just means you're a knockoff. You're like a dime store Terminator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this came out after T2.
Yeah.
Like, but you don't do cool things with it or anything.
No, you just melt just when you die.
You can just pour yourself. That is it. That's literally the extent of your powers. You die in one hit. You have a gun. You don't attack with anything other than a gun, but you can pour yourself down drains. So
is that really? I never found that button.
Oh, yeah. It's the shoulder buttons. You turn into a blob.
Wow.
And you're invincible when you're a blob, and you can fall down drains. So
it's like the only game outside of Booger Man where you can flush yourself down a toilet.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, like a big mechanic is finding these little like teleporter sluices. And then there are also like platforms that are, I guess, like in a weird opposite of what I would think. Like mm-hmm. if you're human shaped, you fall through. But if you're blob shaped, you can float on top of.
Yeah.
And if it was like a grate, I'd imagine it'd be the other way around.
Yeah.
But there are like platforms where you have to kind of switch back and forth to get to navigate.
Yeah. Well, maybe you're using your surface tension to like cling to the side of it.
Oh, sure. But the surface tension that you don't have as a
yes.
As a person?
Yep.
Like as a solid object?
Yeah.
The Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. But like, it's this whole like weird like fiction. Like the cutscene that opens this is like as long as the Snatcher cutscene.
Yep.
It's like as long as like the Ghost Babble. It's really this really really long like the attract mode thing. Like, it seems really in depth.
Yeah, and like it's explaining something I couldn't give less than one fuck about.
Yeah. it's pretty. It's
that
pretty
I could
dumb.
Give less than one fuck about. There we go.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Yeah, but like it's the most like dime store said it again. It is the most low rent paperback early 90s sci-fi.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you are a metamorph and you stop by somewhere, these ambassadors, they jump you and then they start doing experiments on you and you have to escape. And the dumb thing is you escape and then you just kind of keep going. Like I couldn't figure out why I kept going.
Mm-hmm.
But like starts off as a bad platformer, like super bad controls. Toggleable crouch that you can't move during, that's the worst.
Yep.
Why would you ever do that?
Mm-hmm. Enemies that can just shoot you from off screen.
Yep.
That's never a good thing to do. Somebody got very confused about the difference between a life and a continue.
Yes. Yeah. Like you just have continues, but you continue right where you died.
Yeah.
And continues are everywhere.
Yeah. And so, you die in a single shot, so you're going to see a dialogue option that says, you have X continues left. Continue?
Yes. Yeah, constantly.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like a game that like just lets you quit anytime you died.
Yeah.
You know, which is kind of weird. but the whole idea, like, you get through this first area and you get into your ship, and then it's this, like, shitty... There's, like, three modes of play.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, shitty platformer. The shitty kind of, like, Star Fox-alike.
Yeah.
But, everything moves too smoothly and it's impossible to tell how far anything is away from you. Like, cause everything is a sprite.
Yeah.
As opposed to a polygon.
Everything is a sprite with no scaling, which you would think by 94, they had mastered mode 7 most likely.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is mode 7. Did you get to the third set of stages?
Yes, I did. Which is Space Harrier. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. which is also very weird and very hard to play. Did it's you get like, any, speed ups?
No.
They make it impossible to do anything. Like, you move so quickly that you can't stop in the middle of the screen to aim. Like, as soon as you tap left, you instantly go to the far left of the screen. It's so bad. And it doesn't help you dodge or anything because, like, the bullets are aligned with the camera in a weird way.
Yeah, everything. It's like Tempest. Everything comes from the center of the screen and moves to the center of the screen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really weird.
Mm-hmm. And since nothing scales, you can't tell how far it is. So fuck it, you can never guess.
Yeah, like, I got through the first level, and, like, I died once. And it was like, and I gained a couple of lives, so it wasn't too big of a deal. And then I died six times on the space levels getting to the next, like... platforming level. Like, you just keep dying. Like, it is ridiculously hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have smart bombs, which I couldn't figure out how to use, and they talked about it on the speed run, but they're like mapped to a button that you're already, it's like up and attack or something in a three-dimensional.
Oh fuck.
So like you just use them automatically on accident when you get them all the time. Like they're not even really a power-up.
Yeah.
And there are so many buttons on a fucking Super Nintendo controller.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's so dumb.
Well, they could have mapped it to select, but that actually inverts your controls on the fly.
I want to go to a menu and just choose the one I like. I want to be able to switch back and forth between inverted controls.
Sometimes accidentally. It's like a fucking Ouija board. Maybe there's a ghost who really wants down to be up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, because I was ready to give this game, like, a little bit of credit just for being kind of interesting, just because it's, you know, I mean, if you didn't get to the morph parts, like, it is kind of cool that you turn into this liquid metal thing and you try to use it. Like, I could see them using it for puzzles.
Do you morph in the first level?
Yeah, you just hit shoulder. You can metal morph.
Yeah, so I never found it. Like, I managed to activate. Like, I beat that level without morphing.
You have to the second platform level. It becomes necessary. But it's like, I was ready to give this a little bit of credit just because that's kind of, and it's mixing a lot of different genres and it's like kind of interesting. But all of them are pulled off really, really shitty.
Yeah,
shittily.
I may have played this probably the least of any game we've ever done for the show. Yeah. Like, I had no patience for it.
It is really annoying.
like
it's really bad for this session that we're recording now. I played the next game we're going to do less because I played it when I was young. And I fucking hate that game.
Yep.
I'm so mad.
Yeah. So I played that one more. I just, in order to offset the balance, right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To make up for the deficiency. This was published. I can't get a read on FCI like what they do, because on one hand they put out Hydlide And on the other hand, they do the all of the like the NES Gold Box stuff.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, and all of Nintendo like console Ultimas.
Yeah, it's like I think that that was their publishing. So they were like the publishing company that probably went with Origin.
Yeah.
When Origin was doing stuff on consoles.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who suggested this?
This was suggested / foisted upon us by Tim H. He had a little note here. Rented this game once, took it back the same day because of how bad it was. The store owner said, keep it, and didn't give me a refund. No one has been able to rent this without asking for a refund. I left depressed and out $2.50.
Oh.
Like, can they do that? Can they just say, oh, you thought you rented this, but you bought it?
No, I don't know. Like, if it's $2.50, like, I guess they could.
Yeah.
Because like, they don't have to give refunds for rentals.
Yeah, that's true. That's
like, if it's their policy, they can, but I'm sure there's a law.
Yeah, it's a courtesy they extend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Huh. Like, did you ever take a game back after you rented it? Like, just like this, I need something else. This fucking sucks.
No, I always wanted to, but I was not ambulatory enough. Like, I couldn't, there were no video stores that I could walk to. So, like, going to the video store was always a driving thing, and there's no way I could get my parents to drive me back to take back a game after I, like, whined to go be taken to get a game.
Yeah.
So,
I did that with Quest 64.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I still haven't played that, but I've heard about, I know its reputation pretty well.
Yeah.
So, no, I would usually just kind of suffer through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which sucked. Like, and then I would get a game and my parents would be like, why aren't you playing that game you rented? I'm like, that's really bad. And they would get mad at me. It's not my fault.
if you got me a subscription to EGM.
Yeah. Like, I just thought it looked cool.
Yeah. Like, I'm a kid. I make super Mom, bad decisions.
Yeah. Fucking 9, dude. Back off, motherfucker. anyway. Yeah. I am Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross. This is abject suffering when we play bad games.
Yep.
Why are you doing this to us?
All right.
Yeah. Next week we are playing Bart versus the Space Mutants.